Hey everybody, I'm Angela Belt and welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I am just really excited to talk to Raina Cattleson today. She's a prop and interior stylist. She's also the founder of the Hudson Valley Image Makers, and we'll get into all that. But for me, the reason I wanted to have Raina on this show, I actually posted this photo on Instagram last week and a lot of people responded to it. And it was during this time when I had my home photographed for Better Homes and Gardens. And it actually was this 2-day shoot that ended up lining up with my daughter's birthday. And I think anyone can think about when you're a little kid or you have children and you know how important their birthdays are. And it doesn't really make a difference if you have a magazine shoot or not. You just think everybody's here. What are they going to do for your birthday? And so Raina had told me she wanted to do something really special for Brooklyn to make it this memorable moment. And this never made it into the magazine. And so, you know, she got her some cupcakes and she got her this really cool candle that, like, when you light it up, it turns into this giant sparkler. And let me tell you, everybody in my family now wants that candle. So I had to find one for my husband this year as well. And it was one of those moments that later I stumbled upon going through David Land's portfolio. But it made me just think about the feeling I had when I did that shoot with Raina and David. And how even I remember when, like, Raina was leaving, like, the first thing, or maybe one of the last things, I should be honest, I said before the shoot was over is that I wanted her to come on the podcast because from afar, I have admired her work for a very long time. And so I think a lot of times people kind of forget when somebody calls you up, like a major magazine, and they say, you know, here's the team of people that we want to photograph your home. When I heard that Raina Cattleson would be the stylist for my home, I felt very honored and privileged because I'd seen a lot of her work. And so I was thrilled to get to watch her kind of work her magic with David behind the scenes for two days. So on that note, I know I've given her a lot of praise, but I'm really excited to have her on the show. And on that note, we will get started. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm very excited to have Raina Cattleson on the show today. I will be honest, I have probably asked Raina to come on and off for like 2 years since she styled my house for Better Homes and Gardens. I just had an amazing 2 days meeting her and then like took a deep dive in her resume. And I will say probably more than half of the things that I love, that you love in magazines, Raina has had her hands in. So welcome to the show today.
Hi, Angela. Thanks so much for having me.
So I always do this for everybody, but for first-time listeners, describe your job as a prop and interior stylist.
I would say that I collaborate with a client to bring their vision and needs to life. And every job is different, but mm-hmm. It can involve anything from simply bringing florals and working on set with the client and the photographer to pare down and show their work to the best advantage for designers. Often designers are looking at a whole space, and in a photograph, you need to zero in on the space that best exemplifies what they're trying to say. So for them, it's a simpler thing.
Yeah, and I will say, I know that you've been on both sides of this as well as doing interior design as well as styling. And I think it's always interesting when people do just interior design and then they partner with someone like you and they're like, oh, now I understand, like, the stylist is the secret sauce to like really make the project come alive through photos.
Agreed. I think we need to get that out more to designers. I think they are more and more seeing that, especially as many magazines are now just getting pickup that designers and photographers are sending them as opposed to sending out their own crew.
Yes.
I think that often designers feel that, well, you know, I can design a room so I can make things look good. And yes, they absolutely can. But there is a difference to just seeing it in the frame. And having a fresh eye on it often helps.
I think that's true too, because I think sometimes, and I can say this because I'm doing interior design right now, my ego can get in the way, right? Absolutely. And so I feel so confident about all the work I've done. And then I work with someone like you, like for the Better Homes and Gardens, I had worked on my house for a year. But what you were able to create in 2 days was nothing of what I would have seen. And that is that beautiful, fresh perspective that you get with a stylist that I think sometimes people overlook how important it is. So
but
let's.
That is also just one part of my work. Then
yes.
I also do a lot of set design and product shooting. So in that situation, I could be doing everything to designing and having a set built and then propping the entire thing out for that. So it runs the gamut from very simple to much more elaborate. And that's one of the most exciting things about what I do is that every day is different.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit. How did you get started in this? Like, how did you start on this path?
I started out as a fashion designer, an apparel designer, and I started my own upscale children's wear line called Widgie Wear. And I did that for a few years and then kind of got to this point where I needed a backer and I had a backer and he didn't quite have the same vision and it didn't quite work. So at that point, I kind of took a step back and I realized that the thing that I'd always been drawn to was the image in magazines. I was a huge magazine reader back when there were some really, truly visually exciting magazines being created.
Yeah.
So I just started cold calling fashion stylists that I saw their work and started assisting them. And eventually they would hand off smaller projects to me. And then I grew my own client list. But then there came to be a point where the fashion world was just becoming too much. The idea in fashion, particularly at that time, was this is the most important thing that we're doing in the world.
Yeah.
I absolutely love my job and I put my all into it, but I also know in the end, it's not the most important thing in the world. And so I took a step back and I really was involved in my home at that point and started doing interior and still life, and I haven't stopped.
This is also probably the third interview I've done in like the past 2 weeks where someone started in the fashion industry and then went to interior design because they were like, it just felt like a breath of fresh air.
Yes,
like there was just
exactly.
more space and creativity. And I'm like, this is an interesting path. So let's talk a little bit about when you prepare for a project. Let's talk about where you're talking about, where you're literally building a set from scratch. What are some of the challenges that you're kind of dealing with to put everything together in a short amount of time?
Yes, short amount of time is truly can be it. I find these days many clients come very last minute with very large ideas, and that can be hard. And even though we are, you know, out of the worst of the pandemic in many ways, we are still having supply chain issues. So that is definitely a challenge. And then it's just getting inside the client's head to see what they really need in the end to best suit their product and sell their product. So then it's working with a set builder to design and to build that actual set and get it installed. And then all of the other smaller parts of it that need to be brought in to round that out.
And like normally, let's say like typically, how long do you have to put a project from start to finish?
It depends. Sometimes it's only a couple of days. Hopefully when it's a bigger set build, I have at least a week, if not two.
Right.
It used to be much longer, but again, people, you know, I think it's the internet age. We all think everything's instant and it's not. It still
it's
takes
not.
Time to build things and create things and find things to get the best shot.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you call me and I have to do it within 2 days, I've managed it.
Like doing magic. I mean, I think that's the part that, again, people forget so much of like the shots that you get and how little time you have and how beautifully they're executed. I mean, that is a craft and a skill that's honed over time. I've worked with other people who try it and you're like, no.
I have an incredible, you know, web of products and people who make products and wonderful assistants who really come through for me to help me find things. And it's It's almost like being a detective sometimes.
Yeah.
To find, A, what the client wants, but then to track down this crazy thing that somebody asks for that you didn't even know existed. I love that part of it. It makes it really each day exciting.
It's the hunt.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about how would you actually describe the stylist-photographer relationship? How do you feel like you two work in tandem together to create a project?
It can be a really exciting relationship. We often form really close working relationships with photographers, and a lot of stylists get their work from the photographer. So the client will come to the photographer, and then the photographer will put their list of who they'd like to work with. And we, you form this relationship with somebody, you not only get along really well with them personally, but you spend a lot of time with them, both on set and often traveling together. So when you connect with this person and you find that you have a similar visual language, it helps you have formed this trust in each other's aesthetic choices. And help to push each other, in our stylistic visions. And it really can be exciting. And you play off each other, and all of those thoughts and ideas just create a much more vibrant image.
It was a cool partnership, I will say, you guys, when I was watching Raina and David together, because it really is like two people kind of looking at the photo, but from two different places and moving and tweaking and kind of going back. But it truly is like Raina describes it too. It is a visual language, and it's sort of a dance between, are they both getting what they wanted out of the shot? And then always, are they getting what the client wanted, right? The overarching thing always at the end of the day too.
And I will say that David is one of my favorite photographers to work with. I adore him.
Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mood Board Podcast. My mom's kicking off spring and summer series all around the stories of home renovations, and boxes are stacked up all around the living room. This podcast has listeners in over 13 countries and almost has 10,000 listens. So thank you for actually clicking on this podcast, and make sure to share it with all your friends and family. Okay, Mom, I'm done now.
So let's talk a little bit about what made you want to start the Hudson Valley Image Makers.
So I had that idea actually before the shutdown for some time, but was busy with life and work.
Yeah.
And when the world shut down, suddenly I had the time, and I also saw that there was a real need.
Yeah.
A lot of us were shooting things for clients. A lot of photographers were just shooting things on their own in their homes, or we were just trying to make do to get images out where we could for people. And
Yeah.
because of where I am, a lot of people are either based here or they came up here, they were their second homes and they came up and stayed
Yeah.
here because it was more manageable being here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to connect everybody. I have surfaces and props, which I was able to rent to photographers who were just shooting things on their own because they didn't want to have anybody in a space with them. I formed a pod with a photographer and a food stylist, and we were able to shoot things for magazines that, their studios were shut down and they couldn't do anything, and we were able to create product or images for them. And also, I wanted everybody to connect. We're a big, diverse group, and I call it the Hudson Valley, but it spreads a bit beyond that to parts of Connecticut. And the more we can work together and also work up here, there are studios here now that are great places to shoot. We have incredible locations up here. And why bring in crews when you're shooting a location shoot, when you have people that are right here? Or why not just shoot the things here? We can shoot it easier. Moving around is easier than moving in the city. It's often less expensive than shooting in the city. And clients are so used to Zooming now from all over the world. They don't have to be there. And if they want to come, it's beautiful up here. Please come and visit. We'll shoot with you here. But I just think that this city is getting more and more difficult and more expensive to shoot
Yes.
in. Obviously,
Yes.
there's some wonderful things there, and I love shooting there when I shoot there. But why not add another space where we have more space and we can shoot?
And also just, yeah. And also like what you're saying too, creating the community.
Yes.
Because I think that's the hardest thing. I think sometimes when people want to get into this industry, you're not really sure. I mean, like you said, you started out with cold calls, you know, you're like, how do I get in this?
Right.
But what you've created is a pathway to be like, this is how we can all work together to grow together.
Right. And when you're in the city, you know, you do kind of bump into each other more because you go to a lot of the same places, the same prop houses or, you know, the same studios. Here, we're miles apart. So that's the way to connect us.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how have you had to adjust and grow with so much of the industry now moving towards 3D styling for product shots and in interiors?
I can't say I've adjusted. Mostly I'm just worrying about it. I mean, I think there are things that happen on set and with a group of creatives in a room that really can make magic, and unexpected decisions that happen on the fly. Oh, there's that. Let's add that in. You know, let's try this. Really bring the story to life. And I think you lose that when you're creating an image on a computer. I have seen some really good work by really talented people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's for me. I mean, one of the things I love about my job is that I'm in different places with different people on a regular basis. And I don't know if sitting in one place and a computer is for me.
Yeah. And I think I told you too, there was a time I had done 3D design at Wayfair for about a year. And I realized it was not for me. I think I understood it. I think Raina, you would really get it from an art direction perspective, but actually sitting in front of the screen for that long, I was like, this is not me.
Yeah,
but it's definitely out there.
Wayfair had talked to me at one point early on about it. And I was like, no. I mean, now, you know, I do worry more and more of it is taking over. I think it'll take some time to move in that direction. And I don't know if that happens. Maybe I'll do more product design. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's something just to be aware of because it is here. I actually have someone from Amazon Home. We're like really going to get into it. And I'm like, this is the future. I'm like, I'm just talking it out right now.
Yeah.
What do you feel like in your career right now has been like your biggest achievement? And is there anything you feel like you want to accomplish, but you haven't accomplished yet?
I mean, I would say that the opportunity to work with such an amazing and diverse group of talented people on a daily basis and to be so excited to go to work each day, to me, that's an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
I know that not everybody's really lucky enough to do that. And I totally understand that. And even, you know, not every job is fun and wonderful. They can be very difficult for a variety of reasons. But I still look forward to it. And I'm still excited by it.
Yeah.
I think that that's an amazing achievement. And I hope that for my children, I hope that for more people to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always looking forward to the next job with new and interesting challenges. I mean, I have a list of clients I'd love to check off my bucket list, and that list keeps growing. I'd like to do more involved sets more often. I love that kind of work. I don't know. Well, I'm waiting to see what's before me.
Exactly. Like I'm open to it, which
exactly.
I think is kind of where it is. Like I think in the creative world in general, it's like just being open to it. Cause I think my husband and I were both also creatives, and it's like, I think there is something that feels like a real win that the jobs that we have, we genuinely love doing. They are tedious, they are timely, you know, they get under our skin, but very passionate about them, you know, and I'm glad that I'm at least at a place where someone's willing to pay me for these gifts.
I was doing improv for a while, and one of the tenets of improv is just say yes. And to me, that is life. You just say yes. You'd have no idea where it's going to take you. I mean, I can trace the beginnings of my career of, you know, how I kind of got clients and went from the next thing to the next in the beginning of it, of, you know, somebody asked me to do something for free or at the last minute, and I said yes. And then that led to a book that they were doing, or to a connection to another client, or to a bigger job. And you just say yes, and the world will take you, you know, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just, okay, well, I did that and that didn't. But often it will take you to something, the next thing that's interesting.
I agree, because right, no is no movement.
Right.
You know, you're like, and I'm just here. I'm like, we didn't go anywhere.
And that's not to say that take every job where people don't want to pay you or pay you too little. I'm not saying that. But there are things that you just need to say yes to.
Absolutely. So Raina, for listeners, if somebody does want to hire you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Talk to my agent.
All right. And they'll help make sure if it's a yes or a no as well.
Exactly.
Well, that is our interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate, you know, one, you coming on. You have a very busy schedule, but also just I admire so much of your work. And so I was very excited to have you on the show today.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I love your work and I loved meeting you and your family and working in your beautiful home. And I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Well, I hope you got something out of this episode, especially for coming in so close to 2024 now. And just reminding yourself, you know, no is no movement. And saying yes can lead to bigger and better things. And I agree with Raina. We're not saying that you should just say yes to everything and do everything, you know, never getting paid. But sometimes if it scares you, if it feels like it's a risk, you have no idea, you know, how that can snowball into bigger things. I know I have done that over the years. There have been things I have said yes to and I've gone, poof, probably should have said no. But more likely than not, the times that I've said yes, the opportunities have continued to grow for me. So I just want to kind of plant that little seed. I actually was mentoring someone last week and we actually started making some vision boards together. And it was really helpful for me to talk to someone who was in their 20s and hadn't been quite where I had been yet in my journey, but it reminded me of all of those feelings that you have at that time in your life when you're so eager to get started with your career. And I remember just telling her pretty much what Raina had told me, like, just say yes to it. You know, even if it's not quite right at first, you have no idea where it can take you. So I just want to plant that little nugget in everybody's head. Remember to go to angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast. And remember to continue to please share and subscribe with your friends and family. All right, everybody, stay safe out there. Bye-bye.